Today on Real Radio.
Jesus left heaven for us. The story is what is going to be saved and found. He gives everything to come and come to us. How much does God desire you? Listen, how many of you want to go in heaven? You want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. You want to be in heaven.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series on the parables of Jesus. So far in this series, we've typically looked at one parable at a time, breaking down each analogy. Now, our primary text has been in Matthew chapter 13, which records many of these parables. And we will be in that portion of Scripture today, but we're also going to look at the Old Testament, which gives a foreshadowing of why and how believers receive these literary devices and their methods of communicating the truth of God's written word. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Hidden Treasures.
1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Remember the parable. A man saw a treasure in a field, and he bought it. A man saw a pearl of great price, and he bought it. Jesus bought, isn't it strange? Jesus creates the universe, including the earth, but by his own life, has to buy it or redeem it out of slavery, sin slavery. Why? He does that to get out of it precious things. God sees you as so valued. We're going to have to receive this by faith, people. It's just not normal for us to go, I'm so valued. Oh, am I loved? I understand that. But you know what? We are. It should change your attitudes a bit, huh? It should certainly affect how we treat other people. You're going to go home, you know, to that unbelieving wife or husband that let you go to church tonight. They're glad. Get out of here. Go take your Bible. Go sing your little songs. I'm going to watch the game, drink some beers, kick back. You can tell me all about the sermon when you get home tonight. Well, I know, you know, you're tempted to go home and, oh, man, there's that bum. Jesus loves that bum. He loves them. He values them so highly. Isn't it sad you think about it? They don't value themselves so much. You're blood-bought, property of the living God. Look back at that second portion of this combo parable. Look at verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking. Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. Beautiful pearls. This is interesting because the Jews had nothing to do with pearls. Is that interesting? They don't do pearls. Jesus has got everyone's attention now. They don't do pearls, which is really interesting because it's a Gentile thing, pearls. Even in Jesus' day, it was a Gentile thing. Isn't it sweet, though? In the book of Revelation, there's 12 gates, all made out of what? Solid. Each gate is one solid pearl. And the Jew would go, well, that's weird. We don't do ocean things. It's an unclean thing. Do you see the message Jesus is sending? Do you remember how we started this message? Jew, Gentile, all one. if you believe in Christ? People go, are you Jewish? Nope. But the God I worship is Jewish. That's fun. So think, watch. An oyster, this kind of fun. I did some oyster homework for this message. Where do you get pearls from? Have you ever seen an oyster?
Yes.
I should have brought one out here. They're one of the ugliest looking things on the planet. If you've never seen an oyster, if I showed you an oyster, you'd say, there's no way it's an oyster. Well, listen, an oyster, it's interesting because it's a treasure, what's inside of it, that doesn't appear on the surface. You'd walk right past it. Look, people walk past us all the time. That's what's inside the oyster, huh? Where's the Holy Spirit? Inside you. Remember how we talked about a Sunday or two ago, whenever that was? The outward man is perishing, but the inward man's being renewed? Was that like last Sunday or last year? I can't remember. Wow, listen. Cleopatra. You know Cleopatra? She had that thing, her and Mark Anthony, all that stuff going on. She had a gift given to her. She wore on her neck two pearls that the size of them was recorded in Roman history, that today they're both estimated at nearly $500,000 each. Pearls. But that's Gentile. It's a weird story. You can read it later. She actually drank them. She dissolved them in vinegar to show her opulence and her love for Mark Anthony. Anyway, it has nothing to do with the Bible study. So, a pearl is the only precious stone that comes out from a living organism. It's considered a stone, a precious stone. You know, like diamonds and all that stuff. But a pearl comes from a living organism. Diamonds are diamonds. Yes, they're made, compression, all that kind of stuff. Understand that? Secondly, a pearl can only be formed by an oyster that has been affected with an impurity. Did you know that a pearl starts out? A pearl is an impurity. The oyster's fine. He's cruising along, doing nothing, and something gets inside of it. A contaminant enters it. Can I just kind of make this a little bit more romantic? S-I-N, sin, positive. I watched my granddaughter before service tonight sin. She's 2.5. She committed a sin. Where did that come from? It's in her spiritual DNA to sin. Listen, an oyster starts, I got something in me, I don't like it, it's messing me up, I'm going to attack it, and it starts to attack it. It doesn't stop either, by the way. The oyster converts the impurity by wrapping it up, wrapping the irritant up with this secretion, over and over again in layers until it's no longer an irritant. What is foreign is dealt with. And this gets very fun. The word pearl is derived from the ancient Sanskrit meaning the pure. The irritant, could be sand, could be something, begins. Bothers the oyster begins to attack it. It winds up making one of the most beautiful, highly esteemed stones in all of the world. And its very meaning is that it becomes a pearl. The pearl of great price is the lost sinner. That through the work of the Spirit of God, the salvation of God, the blood of Christ, takes what was a sinful irritant, as it were, and brings out of it makes out of it something that even adorns heaven. What does Jesus think about you? Well, think about this. Can you imagine how valuable the church is to Jesus Christ? I mean, you can kind of figure that out right now more than ever. The church is getting beat up by everybody in every corner, all around the world. Well, that just kind of goes with the trend of things. Just know this. Jesus loves his church. A lot of people giving the church a black eye, persecuting the church, killing portions of the church. Just know this. Jesus loves his church. And he says so. And the Bible tells us that, and well, listen, Ephesians 5:26 says that he, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse the church, her, with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Think about it. Sounds like a pearl in the making. That's how much God loves you. Our culture has been beaten down. I don't like our culture anymore. I think I lived it the best time. I loved my when I was growing up. We were, it was just the best. But now everybody is, oh, you work, don't, well, it never work. Don't try. If you try, you're gonna get in trouble because you're gonna stand out. Just be down here with the rest of us. Just, it's really pathetic. It's amazing that Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and those dudes were born when they were born, because if they were born today, they wouldn't even get out of, they wouldn't be able to think a thought. The church today has kind of adopted the culture. He's like, oh, don't say anything about love and life and eternity. Shh, don't say the word Bible. Somebody might get upset. Shh. What in the world's going on? How are we ever going to rescue anybody? How are we ever going to invite people up to the mountaintop? So much of what is called the church is walking around saying, there's no mountaintop to go up to. Everything just, you know what I'm saying? Yes. It's a sad day. It's a sad day. If somebody stands up and says, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, they're calling the cops, you know, oh my goodness, there's a lunatic. There's a lunatic running down the mall. Jesus loves you. Somebody call the cops. We should do that some night. You know, like those flash mob things? We should go to the mall and just be walking along. Jesus loves you, Jesus. Can you imagine? Hey, if we all do it, then nobody will get arrested. They won't have enough. If we all do it, nobody will get arrested. So we should all do that. The third thing is this. The third thing is what Jesus thinks about you is how you're desired. He desires you. When the Bible here says in this parable that he had joy and he goes out and sells, verse 44, all that he has and buys the field, Jesus left heaven for us. The story is what is going to be saved and found, he gives everything to come to us. How much does God desire you? Listen, how many of you want to go in heaven? You want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. You want to be in heaven? Put your hand down. You know what's hilarious about that? The very want that you have to go to heaven has been given to you by God. He wants you in heaven more than you want to be in heaven. Oh, I really hope I make it to heaven. He wants you there. What's the problem? Think about it. I want to go. Yes. But I don't know if he's going to. Well, he wants you to go. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Do you trust Christ? He rose again from the dead. Is he your Savior? Yes, he is. But I really want to go to heaven. Then go. He wants you there more than you want to go. It's amazing. His desire, Colossians 1:20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, that's a lot. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Someone say amen. He wants you in heaven. His desire is to have you with him. Look, can I put it very, very reverently, but to the point? God is the one with the big idea. He's the one with the big idea. What's the big idea? He wrote the book and he announced to us, I want you in heaven with me. What's the problem, people? Come where I'm at. That's what the whole Bible's about. Think about the magnitude of that. He desires you. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh my goodness. You can't get better than that. Number four, what Jesus thinks about you is how you are welcomed. How you are welcomed. Isn't it beautiful that he speaks to us in the parable of as being a hidden treasure? A pearl? John 17 again, verse 23. Jesus in his high priestly prayer says, I in them, speaking to his Father, I in them and you in me, that they may be made complete or perfect in one, and that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Excuse me, stop. Did you hear that? And have loved them, us, as you, the Father, have loved me, Jesus. Jesus is saying, you love me, Father, the same as you love them. This is the Bible. This is John 17:23. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus announced that God the Father loves you as much as he loves his Son. I don't get it. I don't get it. He said it. I believe that. It's going to take, no wonder why eternity is a long time. It's going to take us forever to think about that. You're welcome. Number five, we end with this. What Jesus thinks about you is how you're positioned. Oh man, we need this. How you are positioned. if someone's gonna put a treasure on display, you ever been to a good museum? A good one. You should go to the Getty. I've not been, but I've heard about it. I've been to some great museums in the world, but I have not been to that one, but I heard it's awesome. They have stuff on display. It's not just any stuff. It's amazing stuff. Not too long ago, I was at the British Museum. Unbelievable stuff. So, man, I'm reading this thing. And this is the scepter from Pharaoh what's-his-face, somebody, big time. This guy, and they got a Bible reference in this guy. He's like, what? And I'm thinking, well, that's got to be like a, you know, that's like a replica. And I'm looking at that, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. There's no replicas. It's just, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. And I'm going like this. You see this? And you know what I crashed right into? It's in a glass, but I ran right into it. Boom. The Rosetta Stone. You ever heard that? You ever heard of that? So what is that? It's a commercial. The Rosetta Stone, which is a miraculous thing. It's like, oh. Everything in there is real. On display. Saw the Hope Diamond. It was amazing. Hope Diamond, right here, okay? Four guys with machine guns like this. You had to go through them. They wand you and all this stuff, pat you down before you go in there and look at it. And there's guys like this. There's just like this. On display. Lighting is perfect. Music, like spa music. On display. Okay? Listen, God has positioned you and I, the believer, in such a way that how we are right now, somehow in eternity, I don't know how we're going to be put on display, but we're going to be put on display in such a way that our salvation, redemption, and completion will bring so much glory and honor to the Lord. We're going to be like this, and it's not about us. It won't be, no angels are going to be walking by going, oh, man. No one's going to do that, but we will be in eternity having been saved by the Lamb of God on display, and listen, the universe will say, isn't God amazing that he would save those people? He saved those oysters, those pearls. It's amazing. Now watch this, and we'll wrap this up with this big ending. Positioned. I'm so happy about what I'm going to be reading, because the truth is, God has a position for you if you trust Jesus tonight. And let this bless you rather than create an argument in your head. Stop fighting with God's word and enjoy it. Are you ready? Ephesians, I'm going to be reading from two areas, Ephesians and Romans. Blessed be, oh how happy, is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. Isn't that amazing? You're not running toward it. In Christ, you have it. And without blame before him in love. You are without blame before God in love right now. Tonight, the Bible says, I don't know. You better, this is the Bible. God says you are positioned in front of him in eternity, blameless right now. God lives in eternity. It's all the now there. He's not waiting for tomorrow. It's now. Isn't that amazing? Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption. I like that because God knows everything in advance. You can't teach him anything. He knows everything. And it's not like we were born and so he stuck with us. Oh, man. Oh, got to do something with this guy. Adopted. He picked us out as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew. In advance, he knows in advance. He knows the whole thing in advance. Based on his foreknowledge, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You are so beautifully positioned. Like in a crown or a tiara. Positioned. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Is he inviting you tonight? Did he invite you in the past? Whom he called, did he call you? Well, then he also justified you. And whom he justified, by the way, took away all claims against us. Canceled the case. These he also glorified. In the eternal mind of God, based all of this is based on his foreknowledge, he sees us. Amazing. Right now, how positioned you are. Wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Hidden Treasures. It's a look at Matthew chapter 13, as well as other parts of Scripture that explain why and how believers receive these literary analogies. The Parable of the Hidden Treasures, part of Pastor Jack's series on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've heard us tell you about Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Of course, that's our Monday evening television program. And last night's was another good one. You really should check that out when you get a chance. RealLifeWithJackHibbs.org, that's our website, RealLifeWithJackHibbs.org. You can watch, listen, search, browse by category, check out all that's available in our store. It's all right there. There are tabs and buttons that take you to archived Real Radio broadcasts, Real Life Devotions with Jack Hibbs, which, by the way, you can subscribe to and get in your email box every day. We've got resources that'll help you grow as a believer and a whole lot more. So check out reallifewithjackhibbs.org when you get a chance. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And of course, if you're on the go and you want even more convenience, download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free. Just go to your app store and look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.